Let's find the 20th chapter of John this evening, John chapter 20. We will continue the study we began last week.
As we're going through this study on the Great Commission, it's all preparatory for a study on how to lead a soul to Christ. And so I hope that's something you'll all be interested in. But the purpose of going through the Great Commission is to show our great need to be proficient in sharing the gospel. Now, I use that term proficient, but we always realize, and I'll be the first to admit, that we cannot lead a single soul to Christ, and we never know what to say when we deal with someone about the Savior. We're entirely, completely, fully dependent upon the Holy Spirit of God to reveal Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And so no soul is ever won by any individual. Every once in a while when I talk to people, they'll say, so-and-so, naming a preacher or a Sunday school teacher, saved me. Well, we all know that person didn't save them. Jesus did. But it's our responsibility to take the message, and that's the point that we're looking at. Now, there's five main points, and we, as I said, began looking at these last week. In Matthew chapter 28, we saw the method of the Great Commission, and that was to make disciples, see them get baptized, in other words, bring them to the place where they're willing to make a commitment. Isn't that a four-letter word in our society today, commitment? I mean, everybody has trouble making a commitment, especially the younger generation. I don't think I'd ever get old enough to use that terminology, but here I am over the hill on my way down the other side, and the younger generation, boy, to get them to make a commitment, they want to leave all their options open, and whatever is the most enjoyable or pleasurable, they'll go after that. Baptism signifies commitment to the Savior who made a commitment to us to die on the cross. And, I mean, that's just scratching the surface of what He did and what it meant to Him to leave heaven and come to the earth as a man. And so the method, win them to Christ, bring them to the place of commitment, and then teach them to observe all things. See them growing in grace so that they then can go out and reproduce as well. As we discussed last week, the reason we go and obey the Great Commission is simply because it is our duty. It is our duty. Then in the book of Mark, we find the mission field of the Great Commission, And we saw that we go with the Great Commission, we go with the gospel because the world needs us. The world needs us. We also looked in Luke chapter 21 and saw the message of the Great Commission. And we realized, or at least we talked about, I hope we realized, that the gospel is the only thing that satisfies. The only thing that satisfies. I know my own personal experience, I wasn't that old when I got saved, I was almost 20. But I had already been looking for things to satisfy. And I found everything empty and unsatisfactory in my life. And when I trusted Christ, immediately I knew. And I don't know how, but I knew that I found what it was that life was all about. And that's why I hit the ground running and haven't looked back. I don't want to go back to that old life. I have absolutely zero desire. And so praise the Lord for that, that the gospel does in fact satisfy. And so we go. Now here in John chapter 20, begin reading with me in verse number 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Now that verse there, number 21, is the Great Commission as recorded in the Gospel according to John. But let's read a couple more verses. Verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. And so we see that the messenger of the Great Commission, the messenger. We understand that God did not send angels, or he doesn't have a classification of angels in heaven that have the responsibility of taking the gospel to mankind. We know that he doesn't put out neon lights out in the society so people can walk by and see the gospel message and get saved. No, he chooses to use you and me. So often when we want to serve God, we feel unworthy or we feel incapable. We feel like there's just no way that God can use me because, you know, the devil's going to heap the memories of our sins into our mind. And unfortunately, a lot of times that keeps Christians from serving God. But always remember that when Jesus said this to the church there in Jerusalem before he ascended into heaven, that he knew the sins they would commit. He knew their unworthiness. He understood their lack of instruction and their lack of training. And he dealt with it, and he's going to here in just a few, in a few minutes, I'll mention it. We talked about this in Matthew chapter 28 because he assures us of the same thing. But the fact is, Jesus uses men and women like you and I to bring the gospel. We are the instruments or the ambassadors of his great commission. And we need to understand that, that the moment we get saved, we have been enlisted. Now, someone may say, well, I didn't realize that was a part of the program, and if I had known that, I may not have signed up. I don't think anybody would say that, simply because the choice was heaven or hell. And this is the conditions that go with attaining heaven through the grace of God and his mercy in the death of Christ on the cross. And so we've been signed up. Whether we like it or not, we are ambassadors. And whether we like it or not, we all shall appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And we will give an answer for the things we've done in this body, whether they be good or bad. Now, part of that bad category is disobeying God's commandments. We saw back in the book of Matthew chapter 28 that obeying the Great Commission and going is a commandment. And if we're not doing that in some way, then we're disobedient. And God will pull rewards off the shelf that were intended for us, and we'll never receive them. Now, how do we give the gospel out? There's many different ways we can do it. Obviously, gospel tracts. And praise the Lord that, you know the best-looking track rack, or we're using a table too? The best-looking table is the one that's empty all the time. Because that means people are taking those tracts and handing them out. And that's the way it ought to be. And so, I gave one to a fella this afternoon. And I was kind of surprised at his response. Because it was just, he was at the drive-thru window and it was just kind of like it always is. You know, they're just kind of used to people driving by and impersonal and just very businesslike. And as soon as I gave him that track, his whole face lit up. And normally they don't respond that way. Usually it's just, I'll take this to be polite and say thank you and tuck it here and never look at it. But his face lit up. He looked genuinely pleased to receive it. See, we've got to give the gospel out because we are the messenger. Jesus sends us with the gospel message. Of course, there is no substitute, though, for actually asking someone if they were to stand before God and he would ask them why they should be allowed into his heaven. Find out if they know how to go to heaven or not. Because if they don't know how to go to heaven, then they most likely aren't saved. If they can't give the right answer to that question, then I find it highly improbable. I think there's only less than a 1% chance that they're saved if they don't know the answer to that question. But what you'll always hear is, I'm good, or I keep the Ten Commandments, or I try to help my neighbor or be a good neighbor, that's the answers you'll get 99% of the time. And so that's part of being that messenger and giving the gospel out. I don't think missions giving falls under this category. Certainly as part of the Great Commission, and God calls missionaries to go. But I don't think that is part of us being the messenger, because this is where it becomes very personal. Now, as far as being obedient to the commandment, it's our duty. It certainly would fall in that category, because we need to do that and help these missionaries get out into the world, where God wants them to serve and has people there for Him to save. But we need to personalize it. And that's what John chapter 20 is all about. That this is my responsibility. This is your responsibility to give the gospel to somebody. God will bring people into your life that He wants you to give the gospel to. Not all will be saved. You may be planting the seed. They may have never heard it before. And you'd be surprised how many people have never heard it, even though they've gone to church their entire life. I think you'd be shocked to know how few churches ever preach the gospel, because they don't believe it themselves. They have some other way of salvation. And so you'd be surprised how many people don't know. And so sometimes you're planting the seed. Other times you're watering the seed. They've heard it before. They haven't received it, but God wants it watered. And then every once in a while, you'll have the blessing of being able to reap the harvest, to pick the fruit, and be able to actually lead them to Christ. And boy, what an exciting time that is. If you've never done it, I want to ask for a raise of hands, but I won't do that. If you have never experienced that, you don't know what anything in this world is that's pleasurable or exciting. You know, we get excited about sports. Having been in Ohio so long, man, they get excited every the end of November, because we never won while I was down. Well, we won two times when I was down there in 21 years. And they always got excited the week leading into the game, and especially the week, well, the 6 months after the game. I took it on the chin. They'd get excited about that, but you know, they wouldn't get so excited if they were used to leading souls to Christ. You know, I have great hopes that the Tigers will do well this year and maybe even make the playoffs. And I know I'm kind of a dreamer there, but no worse than Dave on Sunday morning. You know, he's excited about the Lions and the free agent picks they've picked up this year. And but they're the Lions. Why do we fool ourselves every year? But nevertheless, if they actually won a Super Bowl, the Tigers won the World Series, you know, this town goes crazy over stuff like that. What does it really matter? Who won the World Series in 2011? Anyone know? I love baseball, but I couldn't tell you. Who won the Super Bowl in 2011? Absolutely no idea. Absolutely just don't care. Me either. But, you know, and you know I love sports, but you learn to lead a soul to Christ, and nothing is as exciting as that. What a privilege is ours when Jesus said, "Even so, send I you." All right, let's look over in the book of Acts. We need to get moving. This is going to take way too long, and I don't mean just tonight. I mean weeks. Getting through just the Great Commission. I told you that I've got the main outline, the method, the mission field, the messenger. The message, the messenger, and the might, is that, which is Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. And then under that outline, I've got two other outlines. The method is our duty, the mission field, the world needs us, the message, the gospel is all that satisfies, the messenger. I guess I didn't even say this. There are no others to go. No others to go. I kind of alluded to it, but God chose us. And then we see the might of the Great Commission. There is no time to waste. No time to waste. Look with me at verse number 8. Follow along as I read it. But ye shall receive power. Isn't that a wonderful word? Oh, I didn't, back in Acts or in John chapter 20, I didn't go beyond those, verse 21. But verse number 22, after he commissions them and calls them as messengers, he breathes on them and says, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And so with a commission as ambassadors of the gospel, he empowers us. And so we need not feel inadequate, and we need not feel untrained. The devil will flood us with those thoughts and those emotions, but we can go confidently knowing that the Holy Ghost indwells us, and we, because of him, can be successful. All right, Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, the might, the fact that there is no time to waste. Now, again, but ye shall receive power. When will we receive it? After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, when do we receive the Holy Ghost? At the moment of salvation, we have the power to lead a soul to Christ. Now, we may not even understand what the gospel or salvation is all about. We grasp just the rudiments of the gospel, the fact that we were sinners and headed for hell because of the sin in our lives, but Jesus took our place. And so often that's all we understand, and that's really all we need to understand. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We find what the gospel is, the death, the burial, and the resurrection, all according to the scriptures. And so we don't need to understand any more than that. But as we grow in Christ and in our knowledge of the scriptures, we begin to understand all the ramifications of the gospel and what it means. And but the fact is, according to Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, as soon as we get saved, we have all the power we need to lead souls to Christ. Don't you love the excitement of a new convert? Boy, they need the power. They need the Holy Spirit, don't they? Sometimes their enthusiasm outweighs their wisdom. And you can do some of the foolish more things than I've heard stories. I was really backward and shy when I first got saved, so it wasn't that big of an issue. But not everybody's like me. Some people are outgoing, and they do. I've heard some crazy stories of what people did to try to win others to Christ. And they need the Holy Spirit's empowerment. But I think this all screams of the urgency of the hour, because God doesn't require us to reach a certain level in our spiritual life before we can go out and share the gospel. The fact that he has us immediately ready and equipped with the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God, that speaks of urgency, the lateness of the hour. There is no time to waste. We don't know when that trumpet will sound. We don't know when Christ will cry out, come up hither, and we'll meet him in the clouds. It could be even be tonight. How many opportunities have we squandered even today to share the gospel with someone who might be lost? We need to think these things through. You see, this is why God leaves us here on earth. And I've said it before, and I've heard others say it as well. What is the only thing besides sin that we can do here on earth that we can't do in heaven? There's only one thing that we can do on earth, service or worship to God, that we cannot do in heaven. And that one thing is share the gospel. Everybody in heaven saved. They won't need to hear it. Now, we'll share it. I can't wait to hear how some people came to Christ. But nevertheless, that's our responsibility here. That's why God leaves us here, but he's not going to leave us here forever. As we age, we know that our time of departure grows near. The Apostle Paul understood that in 2 Timothy. But you know, we're not looking for that type of departure. We're not looking for death. We're looking for our Savior to return. And we don't know when that'll be. And so we need to be instant, in season and out of season, sharing the gospel. And that's why God has given us the might of the gospel, the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Never discount the power of the Holy Spirit of God, because he is God. What kind of power does God have? Omnipotent. Don't ever discount the wisdom of the Holy Spirit of God who indwells us, Because what kind of wisdom or knowledge does he have? Omniscience. He has all knowledge. And so when we approach someone, the drive-thru guy on the this afternoon that I gave the gospel tract to, I have no idea what's going on in his life. None whatsoever. My crossing of his paths in life lasted for about 45 seconds. Shouldn't have been that long, but I was trying to use the app, and I'm one of those people that shouldn't have a smartphone. He should have snatched it out of my hand when he had a chance, but he didn't. He left it in my hands, and he paid the price. And it took a while for me to drive through the drive-thru today. But nevertheless, that's the only intersection I'll have with his life, most likely, on this planet. I have no idea what's going on, but God does. And God orchestrates everything according to that omniscience and will give you the words to say, the track in your hand that has the wording that they need to hear, will give you the words to say that will encourage and help. And so never discount the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God. You see, this is the might of the Great Commission that we all have in common, the Holy Spirit of God, who indwells us at the moment of salvation and then seals us until the day of redemption. All right, we're going to stop there tonight because we're out of time. We'll try to work our way through the Great Commission on the other outline, Lord willing, next week. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for the privilege of being able to share the gospel and have a part in souls coming to Christ and seeing them rescued from hell. Father, we know that we really don't do anything in comparison to what Christ has already done. And we're just sharing that good news that the work has been done. Salvation has been provided. Father, we just pray for a harvest of souls through the ministries and the members of this church family. Father, give us courage, give us boldness, help us to be faithful. And we'll thank you for all that you'll do in Jesus' name. Amen.